Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
Time to talk football with the professor, John Clayton. If you guys have questions for John, you know the drill. Text in your questions to 710-710. We'll try to get to some of your questions before we let him go for the day. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
So we're getting news on a couple things out of Seahawks camp. A, Jamal Adams isn't there. It's an excused absence. Apparently he's got some family issues going on. And then I saw this other story that was brought out. Now, Dwayne Brown is there.
Mm-hmm.
But according to, I believe it was Mike Garofalo, saying that he wants a new deal. He's in the final year of his deal that pays him $10 million. He's 35 years old. What do you think the Seahawks, what do you think their take is on this? That they want, they would sign him to an extension of some sort? Or what do you think?
Well, Pete Carroll says he wants to have him play past this year. So they should at some point start talking about an extension. Obviously, Jamal Adams is the one that I think they want to get done first, because again, he's such a big number that's going to be in there. And from the sounds of what Pete said and everybody else, they are making some progress and they seem to be optimistic that they can get something done. Now, that doesn't mean they will get something done, but they seem to be optimistic. So there's encouraging things there. But yeah, and the one thing that I think John Snyder brought this up is that they budgeted for a big number for Adams last year for this year. And so it's like, now, how much over that budget is he asking for? Is he asking for the 17, or can they get him done at 15, 5, or 16 million and make him the highest paid safety in NFL history? So, yeah, it's got a bunch of contract stuff going on, but I guess the fortunate thing is only having three draft choices, not overdoing it in free agency as far as big numbers. You know, they do have some cash in the budget on hand.
Just kind of makes you a little bit nervous, though, when you start talking about Dwayne Brown.
Yep.
You know, because, I mean, he's been such a good answer for them for a long time. I'm trying to remember who was playing left tackle. Was Fetty playing before we got Dwayne Brown? Or
he was on the right tackle side.
I'm trying to think. Well, I know we had Russell Okung for a while. Anyway, it's just one of those positions, John, I feel like is vital to have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have especially a quarterback like Russ, you need a good blindside. And, you know, I don't think Mike Iupati did him any favors last year. Mike Iupati really was struggling. But, it just kind of makes you nervous, because now that's kind of a position, if you have a guy like Russ, like I said, that's very important, more important than center, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, because the left tackles get paid. Although, I'll tell you what, I was going through this the other day, and I was just amazed that not one tackle in free agency or a guy that was, cut or whatever, got $10 million or more.
Mm.
Either it was left tackle or right tackle. Now, again, we know some contract extensions, ate some good numbers like that, but it's like the highest paid tackle was Eric Fisher, who was cut by the Kansas City Chiefs, and he got 8.3 a year. And then I think one guy got 9, but that's about it. I mean, it's really low pay as far, and right tackles really struggled this year.
John, other news coming out of camp, Rashad Penny is sidelined after recently undergoing, quote, a cleanup in the same knee that he tore his ACL.
Mm-hmm.
Dave and I were talking about it earlier during the break that I don't know what he does. If Chris Carson stays relatively healthy this year, I don't know how much of an opportunity Rashad Penny's going to have to prove that he's worth them bringing back. I just looking at it now, I'd be stunned if he were back with his team after the season.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I mean, because, again, it's like, usually a guy that doesn't get the fifth-year option exercised usually ends up leaving anyways. And right now, he's not going to be getting big numbers or anything of that nature as far as free agency. So, they like him, obviously. But, again, availability is the most important thing. And if he's not available, then it's going to be tough.
Hey, John, we've talked about I feel like we talked yesterday about Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
And that's over the years. We've talked a lot about him. Another guy, Derek Carr. And he had a quote today, "I'd probably quit football if I had to play for somebody else." That's kind of interesting, because, we've always perceived anyway that there's possibly some kind of a, rift between, between John Gruden and Derek Carr, some
mm-hmm.
of it having to do with reportedly his swearing. But I just, that was kind of surprising coming out of there? What's the update on the quarterback situation in Vegas?
Well, I mean, he's the quarterback, and you know, Marcus Mariota decided to stay there at a much lower rate. I mean, from the sounds of things, at the moment, things are good because he did play well last year. He put up good numbers, all those different things. But you know, he can be, you know, and, like we all know, you don't swear in front of him, and John Gruden swears all the time, and so he doesn't like that. But, yeah, you can understand. It's you latch yourself onto a team. I mean, remember his older brother, of course, was latched onto an expansion Houston team and just got the snot beaten out of him all the way through the years. But, you know, Derek sounds like you know, he's a one-trick pony. He wants to stay a Raider and stay a Raider for life.
And the thing is, you know, we've looked at his numbers, but it's more about winning.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like in those situations, he's not one of a guy that's going to – he's not going to be Russell Wilson.
No, no. By the way, I was just looking at the – because I'm trying to figure out on the Dwayne Brown thing what kind of number he could come in at. And, of course, so I had to go naturally to Andrew Whitworth, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, Whitworth, I mean, he was making some real big money. I mean, at one point in 2017, he was making, what, 11 and a quarter million a year.
And similar age.
Similar age, yeah. And all that stuff. Then he came back in 2020 and did a three-year deal at $30 million. And then he came back and revised his contract and took a two-year deal this year for $17 million. So you'd have to figure if Dwayne Brown does get another contract, which I think they'll be happy to do, it may be a little bit less than $10
million. Mm. John, we saw the story earlier about Dolphins cornerback Xavien Howard as a holdout. Mm-hmm. In mandatory camp. He just signed a five-year, $75 million extension in 2019, and he's already holding out?
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
He's not going to get any adjustment to his contract, is he?
He might. I mean, you know, I think probably what it was, and see, that's where I thought that the Julio Jones thing could have been very hurtful for the wide receiver room, you know, because you go back and the highest paid cornerback and really the highest paid defensive player in free agency last year was the $16-plus million deal for Byron Jones, which certainly topped Xavien Howard's deal. And so you have the two of the higher-paid cornerbacks in the league. So he's probably mad or upset. It's like, well, I'm Xavier Howard. I've been here since they drafted me, and now I'm the second-highest-paid cornerback. So, yeah, there's a little tension in that regard.
Yeah, he got 10 picks last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that. But, yeah, I mean, I just remember getting ready to play the – Dolphins last year going, they spent how much money? I mean, those two corners and the other one didn't have great numbers. Jones mm-hmm. did not have great numbers.
Well, you know, we talk about Shaquille Griffin and the lack of interceptions that he had. Well, I mean, what, Byron Jones, in his days in Dallas, I think he only had two or three.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. And before he signed that big deal mm-hmm. there, so.
Maybe
yeah.
they weren't throwing at him.
Well, there's some of that.
Yeah.
Remember that game? What game? I know it was against Green Bay where.
Right. Yeah, they didn't throw against Sherm.
Sherm went over to A-Rod and says, hey, you weren't throwing my way, right? And he's like, no, we weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, another story surrounding the Dolphins, John. We saw that Tua Tagovailoa threw five interceptions in their minicamp practice today, which he's a guy I've had questions about. I think he was a really good college quarterback. I don't think he's a franchise quarterback at this level. Maybe he'll prove me wrong, and it's not based on this one thing. But what I thought was interesting, it says, much of the practice consisted of a torrential downpour, and the Dolphins never left the outside field. It was clear Coach Brian Flores wanted them to play through the adverse circumstances. Really? During mini camp with no pads or anything? And that seems an odd approach, but yeah, I guess it resulted in five interceptions for him, and Jacoby Brissett threw two interceptions.
Yeah, so you'd have to say that gripping the football was very difficult in being able to make those throws, and to think that Xavien Howard wasn't even here to get those interceptions.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's like, wow, what's going on? But I think Tua's going to be okay, but it's still going to take time. I mean, because you know, he was injured coming out of college, and you know, was slow in picking things up last year, but I still think he's going to be okay. I mean, if not, they, you know, any franchise that drafts a quarterback high in the draft and fails with the quarterback usually has to go through a rebuilding cycle.
You know, that sounded like something more that Matt Patricia would do mm-hmm. to make his team stay out there in the rain. I remember hearing stories about how their outside field in Detroit was all iced over, and they forced, you know, he forced them to go out there to make them tough.
Right.
Like, they're NFL players. They're seems already like, tough.
Seems like Dan Campbell would do that, wouldn't he?
Well,
he'd
see.
Have them out there in short sleeves and shorts.
He might be smarter than he sounds.
But that's
that'd be an upset.
But you'd have to get all that comes from Belichick. You know, because Bill Belichick isn't the nicest guy, I guess, dealing with the players and doing different things like that. And so I'm sure Brian learned it from Bill, and Bill's teaching it. Yeah,
I'll tell you what, and he had his team at 10-6. Brian Flores seems like he's doing a great job down there. Not many disciples of Bill Belichick that have success.
No, I mean, you can say that Bill O'Brien was probably one of the most. I mean, Charlie Weiss certainly was in college. Not in the pro, you know, but you know, Charlie Weiss had success, and then Bill O'Brien, you know, had a whole string of like 9-7 seasons that won, you know, a bad AFC Central, AFC South. So that was there, but in the end, it's like you know, the Belichick tree is pretty broken, I think.
Yeah.
Which you look at the coaching tree, but the one story that just drove me crazy last week is
not Joshy Boy.
No, it wasn't okay. Joshy Boy. That was a great success story in Denver with him.
Yeah, but he was good.
Oh, he was really good. Yeah. Picks a fight with Jay Cutler in the first couple of days. He was head coach and ends up trading him. And
he drafted Tebow, didn't he?
Oh yeah, that worked out well. But and didn't even play him at tight end, which is kind of amazing. Wow. But yeah, so which you can see is that you know, Brian had some success and all that, but you know, it's still just kind of so different. But the story that drove me crazy last week was one where they have special things being developed right now by Matt Patricia, and some people say yes, and people think he's going to resurface as a head coach. Now, who's going to be dumb enough to hire him as head coach as bad as he was in Detroit and the players all hating him?
Mm. Yeah, so I'm sorry, a couple of guys, Bill O'Brien and Matt Patricia, where are both of those guys, do we?
Well, Patricia ended up
going back to New England?
Yeah, he went back to New England, so he's working with the defense. Not defensive coordinator or anything like that. He's, you know, defensive specialist, I guess you could say. He's working in coordination with what they're doing. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Bill went to Alabama.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm seeing an interesting trend here, John, with the statements of veterans talking about young quarterbacks.
Right.
In the case of Jacksonville, talking about a rookie quarterback, and it was Shaquille Griffin just talking about, you know, it's insane what he's seen Trevor Lawrence do to this point. Then I'm reading Trevor Lawrence has been very limited in what he's doing. Apparently he's dealing with some injury, a hamstring
right,
or something.
Right.
So he really hasn't done much, but Shaquille says it's insane. And then I'm reading this story where Carolina Panthers wide receiver Robbie Anderson says he sees, quote, a new glow in quarterback Sam Darnold. He says, when I walked into the building, I could see a new energy out of him, like a glow, charisma that I didn't really see in New York.
Yeah, and,
like,
and this is Sam without the vaccine. He's not taking any vaccine.
I would say that that's the opposite of what I would think of him. Sam Darnold.
Glowing?
Glowing.
He's glowing.
Yeah, he was dull.
Are these guys just trying to speak it into existence, John, in both cases? I mean, Lawrence, we have no idea. I'm sure he'll be very good. But just to hear that he's been very limited in what he's doing, yet Shaquille's out there going, what I've seen from him is insane. I'm like, okay, calm down.
I know.
And then a new glow for Sam Darnold.
Oh. Well, Shaquille, we still love him, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just trying to talk up his quarterback, and maybe, you know, he can get a gift from Trevor once he gets his contract done.
All right, John, here we go. I know you love this stuff. Cover of Madden 2021 that's coming out here? No, 22.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here are the candidates. Patrick Mahomes, of course, and he was on the 20 Madden, so but still, they're thinking about him. How about Aaron Donald? I like that one. Aaron Donald was in a commercial I saw today that was, I can't even remember, it was some random. I'm like, good, the big guy's finally starting to get some love. And then so after him, Derrick Henry, then Tom Brady. Does he really need to be on that?
No.
Alvin Kamara.
Is Tom older than
Madden?
Madden? Than Madden?
Yeah.
I think he's older than John Madden.
He's certainly older than the game itself.
Yeah.
Alvin Kamara. Josh Allen, T.J. Watt. So it's a little bit more than his brother. I don't know. What do you think, John? Who do you like?
I tend to like Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
With Derrick Henry being, I think, probably number two.
Did he play in all 16? I think he did. He played in
Derrick Henry?
Yeah.
No. If my numbers aren't, I think they're right, but it's like in the last 2 years, there's not been a running back, starting running back, that's played all 16 games.
Really? Not a single back has played all 16 games?
No.
Really? Well, Derrick Henry played 16 last year.
Oh, he did play 16? Okay, so he was the one. All right.
Yeah, he's only missed two games. He played 15 his rookie year and played 15 in 2019, every other year 16.
I'll tell you, that's remarkable for a running back. You know, and so when people, I heard earlier somebody, I can't remember who it was talking about, Chris Carson, played in 14 games, 15 games, 13 games. I mean, that's pretty much run of the mill. Right? I mean, that's what you get out of running backs. You just, that position, you just get pounded.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, being a catcher in baseball. I mean, you just get pounded, chasing the ball on the low pitches and getting hit by the bat and all these different things. And their bodies get beat up, too. So, I mean, you almost equate running back to catchers in baseball.
I was telling Bob that, very few times I had my hands on the ball in the NFL, you realize that everybody wants to kill you. All 11 guys are trying to kill you. As a linebacker, I'm out there. There's probably one guy that's going to block me. Maybe the fullback, leads through the hole. But there's just two guys that are paying attention to me. But, man, now all of a sudden you get the other side of the ball. All 11 are trying to get you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a totally different story.
It's not fun, I can tell you. I would imagine. It's
a total different sense of panic. Right there.
So that caused you not to try to go and get too many interceptions?
Well, yeah, exactly, John, because I didn't want that. And if you saw me run back, we did a thing last week where I picked off Dan Marino and then had the worst run back ever.
Mm-hmm.
And, my run back skills were terrible. But, yeah, maybe that was part of it. I was just scared, John.
Yeah, I can't imagine that.
John, the 425, again, you guys can text in your questions to 710-710, the Mac and Jack's text line. 425 asking about Sheldon Richardson. Not going back to Cleveland. He signed with Minnesota, didn't he?
Yeah, he signed it with Minnesota today.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was like 1 year at 3.6, something like that, $3.6 million. So came in at a nice little discount. So, but again, at this time of the year, to be able to pull off $3.6 million is actually pretty good, even though I'm sure it doesn't satisfy him. But at least he gets a job. He gets to go back with the Vikings, and he's still a very good player.
Hey, John, we were talking about earlier about the corners and just the number. What did we say, Bob? 11? 13 if you count Ugo Amadi and Marquise Blair.
13 corners, yep.
Corners, and those guys are listed as safeties just because, they'll probably end up playing nickel corner, though. But you confident in that? And, as far as we've talked a little bit about the Stephon Gilmore thing, but I feel like they've been able to develop guys. I think they feel like they have the guys that they need here. What do you think?
Well, so far, I mean, you're seeing good things out of Akello Witherspoon. And, he's got the leading chance along with DJ Reed to be the starter. And that's been pretty much like that since the beginning of the OTAs. And now we're in minicamp. And so, you figure that, they've refreshed him on the kick step. He's a big, tall, angular type of cornerback that Pete Carroll likes, and he's got good skills. Being former second round pick, so he right now that may be the answer to the question. And of course, you still have Trey Flowers, and you have so many other guys.
360 asking, is the AFC North the toughest division?
No, NFC West is the toughest division because each team has a good quarterback. Maybe Jimmy Garoppolo is not great, but he's good. And then you look at the trade power that's in this division, which is just remarkable. It's like, Seattle traded two first-round picks to get Jamal Adams, and Trent Williams ended up going to San Francisco. Jalen Ramsey coming to the Los Angeles Rams, along with Matthew Stafford. I mean, there's such star power in this division. And, of course, they got lucky and hit on Leonard Floyd and then gave him $16 million a year. So when you really kind of look at the big picture, I'd still say the NFC West is the best. I think one of the kind of surprise rising divisions is the AFC East, because now Buffalo is one of the best teams in the AFC. Miami and the Jets have had really good off seasons and are improving, and we'll see where it goes with the Patriots.
Is the NFC East still going to stink out loud?
I think it's going to be better. I mean,
that's not setting the bar very high. The winner had 7-9 record last year.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I think out of the division, it was the second worst we've seen in more than a decade. And of course, the worst was the NFC West back in 2008, which was just terrible. But I think that it's improving. I mean, Washington now has one of the best defenses in football. We'll see where it goes with Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is, I think he's also older than John Madden. And, you know, it's like, and we'll, I think the Eagles are going to be bad. Dallas, I still think, has a chance to really bounce back, because look at the power they have at the receiver position. And Ezekiel Elliott, according to Dak Prescott, is in the best shape of his life.
We never hear that about athletes.
No, no.
Never.
No, never.
Best shape of their life?
Yeah.
I was never in the best shape of my life, Bob.
I hear it before every fight that I watch.
Oh,
he's in the
you?
Best training camp of his entire career.
Did they say that about Mike Tyson?
Yeah, they say about everybody. Oh, every guy, especially coming off a loss. Oh, this was the best camp we've ever had.
Yeah.
Who was the guy that was kind of a little chunky when he went out? And I don't know if he fought Tyson. I remember it was back in like the 90s. Buster Douglas, maybe?
He was he was in good shape during that fight.
Oh, I thought there was one where a guy went out there and was not in shape, because Chuck Knox was very big about weighing us in, and he would give you a weight that he wanted you to be every week. And I'd always go and beg for extra pounds.
I got a couple extra pounds, coach.
But I remember he brought that up a couple of times. You all see that fight now.
Yeah.
Now, basically, he was saying, you know, you can't be fat and out of shape.
I will say maybe Douglas was in the best shape of his life in that fight.
He was.
Plus, he had a different inspiration. His mom had died a couple weeks previous that fight. So,
all of
that worked.
You know, AFC North, though, probably second hottest, you think, division
behind
NFC West?
Yeah.
I mean, the Browns, Steelers, Baltimore, always good.
No, Cincinnati. Though.
Cincinnati's bringing him down.
If they can get Burrow back for an entire season, I mean, he was promising while he was there.
Yeah.
Oh, he looked good. It was the offensive line around him, and I don't think they addressed the offensive line well enough.
Yeah, they got him a receiver, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because they go first pick with a receiver.
But he was so excited about it, because that's a receiver from Clemson that he knows.
Yeah. All right, John.
Well, that's good that he knows him.
Oh, yeah. They're together.
Who cares? You could have had each other.
Joe Burrow off the field, at least Chase is going to be there to watch him.
Yeah, exactly. They know each other.
Yeah.
And you didn't want Penei Sewell.
No.
That would have been a terrible move.
Oh, yeah.
John, we'll talk again tomorrow.
All right, thank you.
There you go. If you missed any of today's Cold Hard Facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, just download the podcast at 710sports.com. Coming up, Jordan Brooks of your Seattle Seahawks will join us next here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.